WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
To be together on this lovely Epiphany morning. This is the end of Christmas season. So if you still have your tree up, that's okay. If you haven't sent your cards out, that's also okay. It's still the season. Epiphany is a season of revealing, a season of realization, a season of wonder. So it is good to be together. Welcome, if you were here yesterday, or if it's been a while, or if you're in between. Welcome to men and women, or however you identify. Whatever your background, welcome to married, single, divorced, widowed people. Whatever relationships you have, welcome, whatever your abilities, whatever your background. A few announcements before we get started. Our radio sponsor this morning is Diana Warple, in honor of Dwayne. Marcy will be our liturgist this morning. We have a number of poinsettias around, and you are welcome to take one home. They're not going to last much longer, so please take one. And there are some plastic wrappings in the back, too. Hope you get it home. On Tuesday, we have the Emily Novotny funeral here. And on Saturday, we have Frank Kirschstein. And Wednesday evening, 5 to 8, there's a confirmation mini retreat. We'll have food. All right. Welcome, everybody. It is good to be together. A few moments of silence to come into this holy time, this holy space. Let the worries of the world drain away. Let them flow off of you. Feel your body relax. Any tensions out of your back, your neck, wherever you hold them. Feel love in your hearts. Know that you are loved. And send that love to others.
please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship? You'll note that we have designated left and right, so it's your left and right. So we start on this side as the left. How did you get here? I walked, eyes looking up, following a star. I ran, searching for a love that is bigger than me. I tumbled and fell, step after tender step. I ambled like a river, caught up in God's flow. Tell me again, how did you get here? I am here by God's grace and love's pull. Welcome home. This is God's house. There is room for all you here. Let us worship our gracious God.
Our hymn is number 148 in the New Century Hymnal. What child is this? Please join me in our prayer of unburdening. God of new beginnings, we admit that we often follow the well-worn path simply because others have been there before. Sometimes this is holy and humble, but there are days when a new path needs to be tread. On those new beginning days, O God, give us the courage to follow your star. Give us the courage to go home by another way. Give us the courage to kick up some dust and walk in a new direction for the sake of justice, love, and neighbor. For when you are doing a new thing, we want to have the courage to follow. With hope in our hearts, we wander, we travel. Amen. And hear God's promises to us. Dear travelers, no matter the roads you've taken, the steps you've made, or the paths you've traveled, nowhere you could go would land you outside of God's love. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. Regardless of the path we travel,
how lost you may get,
or the twists and turns along the way, we do not walk alone. We are loved, we are forgiven, we have every chance to begin again. Thanks be to God for a love like that.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near. Lift up your voice as the Lord is near.
You may sit. That we are at our kids' time, you may notice that some things are in a little bit different order today. You may not have noticed that at all, which is okay. I think most of us are used to at other churches communion coming toward the end. I'll have you come up in a minute. Yeah. You can come up. Here it's been earlier in the service. Yeah, you can go ahead, sit down. I'll be right there. And I came just a little over 6 months ago and thought, well, this is different, and that maybe I could get used to it, because different isn't bad. Even I sometimes feel that. Is it because I'm not used to it at the end that it feels a little awkward to me? Or is there real theological reason? I feel like communion, and also it's described this way theologically, as sort of the height, the apex of our service. So it makes sense to me that it comes at the end, and so we are going to try this for a while. Some of you might like it more, some of you might like it less, and that's fine, and you can tell me, and I won't necessarily do what you say, but I will hear it, and I'm happy to talk about it. So we'll have communion later. Here I am. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to church. We've got Sunday school again for you today. Did you all have a nice Christmas? Yeah, did you get some good presents? Mm-hmm. You did?
I got a lava lamp, a rainbow lava.
Oh, that's exciting.
Also, Marty did.
Okay. Today is called Epiphany. It's the end of the Christmas season. You're going to talk about that when you go to Sunday school, I think. It's the day that the wise men came and saw Jesus, and they brought presents. It's a funny story. The wise men were traveling. They might have traveled for a really long ways to find this baby Jesus. And on the way there, they met King Herod. Herod is a bad guy. He's a very bad guy. One of those names you recognize. You know some other bad guys? Lex Luthor. Darth Vader, although he does turn a little bit. It's one of those names you just know. Herod, he's bad. And he tells these magi, they say they're looking for the new king. And Herod is the old king. And he is not happy to learn that there might be a new king. So he says, I would really love to meet this new king. Tell me who it is and where he is, and I'll go see him myself and have a little visit, and maybe I'll bring him some presents. Herod was not very sincere when he said that. It would not have been a good present he brought to Jesus. So the wise men go on, and they find baby Jesus, little Jesus. We're not sure how old he was. Little Jesus. And they meet him, and they give him presents. And then they go back. Not to Herod. They go back to their homes. They go back in a different way. The Bible tells us it's a different way. Because they didn't want to see Herod. We didn't want him to see Jesus. Sometimes God needs us to do things a little bit differently. All right. Let's pray. You can hold hands if you want to, or you don't if you don't. They're your hands, your body. You get to choose. Holy God, bless all these kids. Bless the kids in our hearts, in our lives. Help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in faith. Help them to grow in love of you and love of their neighbors and love of themselves. Help them to recognize how precious they are. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. You can go to Sunday school now. Use your walking feet.
This morning's scripture is from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has been upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This ends our reading.
Thank you, Marcy. And our gospel reading today is from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. There, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. King Herod was a Roman client king. There were actually a number of King Herods. They were all related. They were all bad. He was a puppet king. Rome ruled Jerusalem, and they allowed local kings and local rulers, but they served at the pleasure of Rome. They were kings in name only, so long as they went along. And they were not infrequently replaced. Herod was allowed to rule so long as no one made any fuss. So he was that most dangerous kind of powerful person, one who's insecure and fearful. He's eaten up with worry about maintaining his power and his place, his comfort, his privilege. Protecting all of these things can take a lot of energy from a person. So just imagine how thrilled this pretend king must have been on that day when a little herd, little band of wise men, wise people from the east showed up at his palace with their camels, and they parked him out front. They're loaded down with treasure, and they asked him, the king, for directions to the real king. It's almost comical. You can imagine this is a scene in a play. We might have seen it. We don't know much about them, these magi. They're from the east. We celebrate their encounter with Jesus today. It's only Matthew that tells us anything at all about them. And there's not a lot in there. They're from the east, as I said. We have in tradition their names, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. Those names are not in the scripture. They came later. Nothing in the gospel implies that they are kings. Matthew doesn't even tell us how many there were. We're going to sing We Three Kings later, right after I finish. It doesn't say that there were three. Because they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it was deduced that there must have been three magi. But they could have gone in together on some of those gifts. Could have been 25 of them. These strangers from the east represent long-standing resistance to Western. At the time, it was Roman imperialism. And they've come a long way to meet this Jesus. And in doing so, they are poking a finger right into the eye of Rome itself and all of its puppets, including Herod. This vision that they embody reaches far beyond Israel. celebrates and embraces the entire known world at the time. Who are these strangers, these wise people? You hear that back home they would have been probably high-ranking political advisors, religious advisors to the ruler. Empires, maybe Iran, Iraq. The East, at the time, was a place of danger. It, too, had conquered Israel multiple times. How would we feel in hearing that there were people come from Iran and Iraq, come to meet a new king? We would be suspicious. They would have been. Walter Brueggemann says 9 miles. They have miscalculated by 9 miles the distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. That's not far. That's closer than Baraboo. But it's a long 9 miles. The halls of power and glory and treasure and wealth, the powers that be, to out in the margins, the heart of the empire to the borders, the hinterlands. Matthew uses the word magoi. Pronounce it either way. It's Greek plural for magicians. Magic. Magi, magic. It would be used for both men and women, mixed group of men and women. So we don't even know the gender of these magi. There could have been wise women in there too. And if they were Zoroastrian, there quite probably were. So they followed the star to the Christ child. It worked not quite as well as Google Maps. Although actually, I feel like I've been off by 9 miles with Google Maps, so maybe it did. It got them so far, and then they were a little bit lost and they didn't know where to go. So where do you look for a king? You go look at court. So we celebrate these magi today and their encounter with this baby Christ. Epiphany reveals to us more about who God is, God's plans for the world, God's character, God's hopes. Epiphany, from the Greek, because etymology is fun, means revelation, manifestation. So we celebrate on this day the coming of the Magi. But it's not just a celebration of this meeting. It's the diversity of humanity. Right from the beginning, Matthew tells us, God was reaching out, born of the Jews in a holy place, and reaching out well beyond the Jews. Jesus came to be in relationship with all of us. All the readings during this season of Epiphany are about revelation, manifestation of God, God showing up. There's the wedding at Cana, the baptism of Jesus, God showing up. What we know about the Magi is that they refused to collaborate. They refused to accommodate the empire. On the way to Bethlehem, they meet Herod. He tells them he's got a problem. He so wants to meet this Christ child. And he thought the child would be born in Bethlehem, city of David, where the Messiah was supposed to be born, probably according to scripture. Prophecy was notoriously hard to pin down. He asked them to find this child and report back, because he only wanted to worship the baby too. That could happen, could it? A power-mad, power-hungry king who is insecure might go to a little baby born in the middle of nowhere to nobody and pay homage. The right words come out of his mouth. but cruelty and murder are in his heart. We know this because we hear in Scripture what Herod does with this knowledge. The murder of the innocents, all the little boys in Bethlehem under age 2. Story that tells us graphically just what fear and insecurity and arrogance and greed for power can do. It can kill children. So after they meet Jesus, they go home by another way. They avoid Herod. In this act of civil disobedience, they refuse to comply. Joseph has another dream about the danger, and he takes Mary and the child to Egypt. Throughout all of human history, people, individuals, communities have been forced to make difficult decisions, sometimes really dangerous decisions, in response to unjust directives. Sometimes those have been framed as patriotism. Herod claimed, "It's for the good of the kingdom. I'm just killing all these children for the good of the kingdom." We know that to be a lie. Evil in the name of good is still evil. And God was pretty reliably on the side of the underdogs. Herod ruled by bullying. He could be brutal, very brutal, to anyone who threatened his rule. I mentioned he was not kind to his own children. He was an autocratic ruler. No criticism, no defiance were allowed, but these magi, they realized that this command is unjust, that it will lead nowhere good, and they refused to collaborate. They would not be part of persecution of this little family. Even as an infant, Jesus changed lives. Herod couldn't see what God was doing, couldn't see God's love. And it was there, even for Herod. But he was blinded by ego and misplaced priorities. The Magi represent all of us. All of us. Whatever our background, whatever our abilities, whomever we love. Gentiles, travelers from the East, men, women, who knows? So may we also be willing to see and discern what is righteous. May we speak truth to power. May we defend the vulnerable. May we be willing to see with our hearts, to see what really matters to God, rather than just looking with the eyes of this world. God is doing a new thing. God is always doing a new thing. So this morning, as part of our service, I will be giving out star words. Has anyone ever done those before? Okay. Star words. It's a tradition I learned about from other pastors in some Facebook pastor group. I'm in a few of those. I've done it for a few years now, and it's a tradition that I invite you all to participate in. A star word is not a magic word or a good luck charm. It's just a contemplative word for the year. If you love your word, if you struggle with your word, I invite you to lean into it. It might rest in your heart. It might roll around in your head. It might tick you off. I've heard people put them up on their refrigerators. I've also heard people leave them in their pockets and then wash them. And that's okay. But let your word roll around a bit. Think about various meetings. The word patience. Maybe if you were to draw that, it means you should have more. Maybe. Maybe you ask what you should have patience with and what you shouldn't. Look up some synonyms. Synonyms for patience. Some of them are pretty wonderful, and some of them not so much. Passivity. Some of the opposite meanings are pretty wonderful too. Defiance. These magi were defiant. So I can't make promises about your words, but I can tell you that there are stars. There are stars for us to follow out there, and they can help us through treacherous landscapes into the presence of Christ. T.S. Eliot said, last year's words belong to last year's language. Next year's words await another voice. Holy God, we acknowledge we are not always ready to receive your best gifts for us. You've given us epiphanies, and you give us epiphany words that our searching will bring us to you. Help us be open to the gifts that you offer us, the directions you lead us this year. All right. I'm going to come around and give everyone a word. Kathy, will you help me out? Just draw a word. If you don't like your word, you can put it back, but I'll encourage you to take the one you first draw. And you want to go that way? I'll go to this right. For anyone joining us on YouTube, you can, or over the radio, you can find star word generators online. Or be in touch, and we can get one to you. And our hymn now is We Three Kings. It is not in the hymnal, so we've got the words here. I think most of you know the tune.
Thank you.
may sit. We have a time to share prayers of joy, prayers of concern with God who knows and loves us in all things. Katie?
Oh, no, perfect.
Are there any prayers to share this morning?
Prayers for the city of New Orleans and all the victims that saw things that they will probably never get out of their head, and the families of those victims that are no longer with us. And also keep Las Vegas in our prayers. And the family of the young man who passed away.
I'm asking for prayers for the family of the 4-year-old that was killed by a bus driver in Sussex, Wisconsin. My grandson was on that bus. And I make special prayers for the bus driver. Anyways.
I'd like to have a prayer. Friday night, me and my wife went down to Anita's Spring Green. There's an 8-year-old boy named Cole Rose. He has inoperable brain cancer. Of course, you know, right away I think of my son-in-law, Mike, but 8 years old, and I always question, you know, God always has a plan. Well, I always wonder for an 8-year-old what kind of plan he has, and I'm hoping he comes back as an angel. But so prayers to this young man. He's going to Ohio Tuesday for some kind of procedure, but I don't know what it is. I actually sat down for half an hour with his dad having a pop, and he's pretty distraught, and I don't blame him.
No more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers that we have in our hearts. Holy God, we pray for people in New Orleans affected by tragedy and trauma, and all those around the country who have been affected by violence. Pray for the family in Vegas. We pray for the family of the 4-year-old who was killed, and we pray for the bus driver and everyone involved. We pray for Cole and for all those who are affected by cancer. Continue to pray for those in this congregation who have been ill, who have experienced loss. And holy God, we remember always to give thanks for what good and beauty there is in this world and the opportunities to make it better. And please join in praying as Jesus taught us. This one's a little different, or more the same. Holy Parent, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to build this community, build a community of love, justice, welcome. We bring our time, our treasure, our talents. God of starlight, God of new beginnings, we are so grateful. We are so grateful to be here at the start of a new year, fresh off the press. We are so grateful to be here at the start of a new week, gathered in communion. We are so grateful to begin again. So here at this beginning, we bring you our gifts, our time, treasure, and talent. Loving God, may these gifts reveal to us and to others the light that is Jesus, and may this light be to new and challenging ways of living and serving. Let me sit. Like the Magi called into new territory, Holy God, you call all of us toward you. You lead your people across borders of hatred and difference into lands of curiosity and love and acceptance. You strengthen us as we journey. Gathered in your presence, we recognize that you move in mysterious ways, Holy God. This journey with you is filled with more questions than answers. Each time we think we have you figured out, you show us that we are wrong and surprise us in new ways. Jesus broke religious rules in order to include all people. He lifted up the sacredness of all kinds of people and places that were deemed unclean. He cared more about the well-being of those he cared about, of the oppressed, than his own reputation. On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took bread, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Eat and remember me." He broke the bread. He took a cup of wine, and he poured it, and he said, "This is my blood, poured for you. Drink and remember me." May the same Spirit that lifted Christ from the grave, that put Christ in Bethlehem, be poured out on these gifts. May the bread and the cup be an extension of God's welcome that knows no bounds. It fill us with courage and faith to join in the work of tearing down walls that exclude and pointing to the sacred in the margins. Everyone is welcome. Come and eat and drink.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It's good to see you here. Special welcome to those joining us online. And especially if you are here in the body right now, you are asked at some point this evening to sign the friendship register. That is the black book that you find at the end of every row of pews that helps us to serve you better. Thank you for doing